This is our sixth week to be in our study, Habits of Grace. So, you know, that take the title, Great Habits of Grace. Grace is a key word in our study. And so I want to show you something and write this on your handout. 1 Peter 5:10 calls God the God of all grace. He has reservoirs and reservoirs. And as I said in another lesson, bukoodles of grace. And we're saved by grace. And we've been discussing that our ability to walk in our lives in a victorious way, in our new born-again life, can only happen by God's grace as well. So this idea of grace is absolutely critical. God's grace is our rich resource in our lives. And I want to give you a biblical definition. We've looked at this verse before, but I really believe this is a biblical definition of what grace is. And it comes out of Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Look on your handout. I think it's just the best definition. Let's read it together. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, I think those two verses give us the sense of grace. Let's write it down. What is grace, Teresa? Grace is the supernatural desire to follow Christ. Once you're born again, God plants within you a hunger. It's not something you have to just try to drum up. It is a gift that God puts in you to desire to follow Christ. It's a hunger. Have you noticed yourself hungering to be like Jesus? That is a really good confirmation that you are born again, because you have this desire in your heart that says, I want to follow Christ. But it's not just a desire. Let's write one more thing. It is the power, the supernatural power to follow Christ. He gives you the desire to follow him, and he gives you the power to follow him. And I think that's wonderful. So we're saved by Christ, by God's grace. And the Spirit of Christ takes up residence. He gives us the desire, and he gives us the power we need. Now, I love thinking about the grace of God. I don't know, right now it's just my favorite word, and I'm so sensitive to it, and it's popping up everywhere. Because it's all going to be by grace, girls. If we're ever going to be godly women, it will happen because of God's grace to us. So I like meditating on grace. Sometimes it's easy, as a Christian woman, to slip into a mindset spiritually that thinks, oh, okay, living for Jesus, yeah, following him, oh, I'm worn out already, what am I going to do? I'm tired. I mean, I've got to do this Christian dance. Oh, I'm getting up, I'm doing my Christian dance. I can only dance so long because I'm old. But living the Christian life in our own strength, it's absolutely exhausting. Can I just tell you? There's no joy in that. But it's so freeing. It is so freeing to think biblically. Yes, we have a part. We saw that in Philippians. We're working it out. We're giving maximum effort in our lives. And we're doing it in fear and trembling. But then I tell myself, he's in me. He's in me. And he is working on my will to give me the right holy desires. He's given us new hearts. And it's a heart that longs to follow Christ. And then he supplies us the power that we need through his amazing grace to do that very thing. And it's all by grace. And therefore, as we're living in our lives, he gets all the glory. So we started out our study talking about this grace, relishing this grace. You know, I'm writing our lesson and I'm thinking, I wish I was a better communicator. trying to put my words on paper about God's grace. I can't do it. I feel it in my heart, but I fall so short in finding the right words to talk about it because it's that good. I want us to understand about it, more about it. I want us to long for it. I want us to cherish it. I want us to hunger after it. Now, the question we're answering in these lessons is this. Just exactly, Teresa, how do I position myself to receive the maximum amounts of this wonderful grace that's ours? This mighty reservoir. Because I want to jump in and I want to swim in the reservoir of God's grace so that my life can count for the kingdom of God. In our first lesson, we saw that there are basically three ways, three paths that lead us into fullness of the grace of God. They're very ordinary. It's like basic Christianity 101 stuff. They don't sound that impressive, but they are actually spectacularly powerful when empowered by the Holy Spirit. Just write them down. Let's jot them down. They are, number one, the Word of God. You've got to get in the Word of God, the living Word of God, the anointed Word of God. And then number two, it's prayer. And number three is fellowship. Those three very simple, ordinary things. Now, we're on lesson six, and we're still exploring that first category, the Word. Now, where do we begin? By coming a person of the Word. And we said the very first thing you do is just develop a habit of reading the Word of God by committing to reading it daily. So write that down, by simply reading your Bible every day. How are you doing with your Bible reading? You see, you want to let your life circle around the Word of God each day. And you start by just simply choosing a plan, working your plan, and doing it every day. Maybe you only have 5 minutes. Well, that's better than nothing. Start with 5 minutes until you develop the habit of getting in the Bible every day. Maybe you've got 15 minutes. You've got to start somewhere in your commitment. And we also recognize this fact. As you come to the Word of God, you don't come alone. So write this on your handout. We have a helper. We called him the X Factor. That's what David Mathis introduced in his book. I like that. He's there. He's hovering over our lives. He's hovering over the Word of God. He's a God that will lead us into all truth. Now, this is just first base, so to speak, reading your Bible. Number three, this leads us into deeper study of God's Word. We start asking questions of God's Word. We start seeing things in God's Word. We need to circle around that Word in many ways. So we started reading, but then we come to Sunday school, and then we come to church. And there are myriads of other wonderful resources available to us. They're endless. That'll take us into the Word of God. And then we talked about the lost art of meditation. Write that. That's number four on your handout. And what is meditation? Well, meditation is when we're in God's Word reading and God stops us. And He says, I want you to chew on this a while. It's a call for you to slow down and to linger in the Word of God. Process the Word of God. Allow it to go deep into your soul. Allow it to saturate your minds. It's turning the discipline of reading each day into a time, like we said in our last study, of coming in from the cold and sitting by the fire with God. And communing with Him, spending time with Him, letting Him speak into your soul. You're learning to listen to Him. You're seeing He's a personal God. I love how personal God is. It's a time when He takes the Logos, which is the written word, and he turns it into a rhema, which is a personal word to you. It makes the Bible yours. I think Colossians 3:16 is a good verse that defines meditation. And it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. You see, coming to God's word, it is not about legalistically reading through the Bible and then, okay, click, check my box. It's not about checking boxes. It's about learning. When you open yourself up to God's word, you're coming to God himself. You're spending time with God. He has things to say to you as his daughter. And that was the art of meditation. Now, last week we answered this question in our time together. What application should regular Bible intake have on our hearts and our lives? And so I loved how David Mathis put it, and let's write it on our handout because it was actually the title of his chapter, and it was this: how to bring God's word home to your heart. Yes, we want to do what James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, right? We know that. But the application of the Bible, it's more than just going to God's word and writing down a list of do's and don'ts. And as we looked last week at many of Paul's prayers for the church, something became very clear that we took note of. Paul didn't pray for specific actions. He wanted to see the church form into a kind of people who are able to discern what is pleasing to the Lord and then act in light of it. And he said that the application is the most important thing to pursue when we come to the Word of God. Let's write it on our handouts, is this: to take God's Word and encounter it with astonishment. Now, I have thought of that all week long. And when I've been sitting down to begin my time with God, I've been saying, God, would you astonish me with your word? Just blow me away. Wow me with your word. When was the last time the word of God absolutely astonished you and you got lost in the wonder of the word of God and it drew you into worship? This is taking the scripture in. This is pressing the scripture to your very souls. This is a wonderful way for us to pray. God, would you just awaken my affections for your word, for you and your word. And this is what David Mathis means when he says, bring the Bible home to your heart. Get captivated by the grandeur of God and his beautiful gospel. You know, when you leave the Word of God in the mornings, you should be leaving with a soul that is satisfied. So satisfied with God. You've been coming to the Scripture. You want to see it. You want to feel it. Not coming primarily just to do it so you can check the box. It's about coming to be transformed into a kind of person, a worshiper, to have our hearts amazed and changed. Now, today we're going to continue our emphasis in that first category, the Word. And the title of this chapter that I'm going to teach you this morning out of our book is entitled, get ready for this, memorize the Word of God. Oh, goodness, aren't you so glad you're here? Memorize the Word of God.
What was number six, please?
Number six, memorize the Word of God.
Oh, okay.
So I want us to talk about Bible memorization. Let me check our time. Oh, we've got a little time. Now, Teresa, you've gone way too far. I mean, you expect me to spend 5 minutes every morning in my Bible. Okay, you twisted my arm, and I picked up that 5x5x5 plan. I did notice that was the plan that went first. I went over there to pick them up to take them back. Oh, that thick, 5x5 plan. One or two left. But now, I mean, I get it. You want me to get in the Word, and I understand that, but I mean, really. You expect me to slow down, and you really expect me to memorize Scripture. Now, don't turn me off, okay? Just keep an open mind. I'm going to say to you what I say to Bill all the time. Don't say no. Just think about it, okay? Let's reason together. Bible memorization comes under the umbrella of meditation. It's just another way you meditate on the Word of God. Meditation is actually a non-negotiable habit of grace that we must practice every day, even if I'm only in my Bible 5 minutes. So memorizing the Bible is not something that you're going to do every day of your life, but you should be working on it some each week, taking time, thinking about powerful texts that you know of, that have ministered to you, that you're coming across as you're reading your Bible. You're doing it for the sake of your own soul and for the sake of ministry to other people's souls. But Teresa, here's the biggest excuse. I'm too old to memorize. I have such a bad memory. Well, let's write down quickly some benefits. Hopefully this will stir your heart up. Number one, it is a deposit that we make for future withdrawals. That's a little bank talk there, because I am, after all, the banker's wife. You're going to put Scripture in. You're going to put Scripture in storage to help you maybe at some future date in a counseling situation, maybe at some future date in a witnessing situation, maybe some future date when you're facing temptation and you just need God's Word to help you. And that's all fine and good, but it has another wonderful spiritual benefit. And this may surprise you. Number two, write this down. It's an asset that works for us, not just future, but right now in our present circumstances of life. As you memorize a verse of Scripture, it actually feeds your soul for today. It maps your life and your mind to the very mind of God. Look at Matthew 6:11 and think with me. Maybe you've never thought about this verse this way. There Jesus says, you need to pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, yes, that's physical, but it could also be spiritual. Lord, I need daily bread out of your word today to nourish my soul. And so as I'm hiding God's word in my heart and I'm memorizing, I'm listening to, I'm learning, it's molding my mind to think biblically, and it's contributing powerfully in the present tense of my life. It's going to make me the kind of person who walks in the Spirit today. Ephesians 4:3 says, being daily renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's what it's doing. It's actually just another form of meditation, as I said earlier. So thinking deeply about truth that's coming from God's mind, rolling that truth long enough, letting your heart feel the significance of it, then you begin to envision what the application of that looks like in your life. And when you take meditation, you work it together with Scripture memory, it will do you so much good. It becomes more than just taking Scriptures and memorizing them for the sake of memorization. It's not just storing up transformation that'll come later. It's enjoying food for your soul today. It's experiencing transformation now. Now, there's another benefit for doing it in the present, and write this down. It refocuses our souls for the business of the day. It helps us obey the command of Colossians 3:2. Look at that command. Set your mind on things that are above. And look with me in 1 Corinthians 2:16. Here Paul is going to quote Isaiah 40:16. And I want you to listen to the question Isaiah asked in the Old Testament. And it's put right here in the New Testament out of 1 Corinthians. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him. In other words, Isaiah is asking this question: who could ever be the Lord's counselor? Why, he's so huge. And so Paul has two answers in mind to this question. So write down the first one. The answer is no one. There's no one who can be God's counselor, right? Why, God is so huge. But look at Romans 11:33 on your handout. How unsearchable are God's judgments. How inscrutable are God's ways. And yet, let's go back and see another answer out of 1 Corinthians 2. Look at it with me. But we have the mind of Christ. Now, that's incredible to think about. Write that on your handout. First answer, no one. I told Isaiah, there's no one who can give God counsel. And yet, Paul tells us, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, girls, that's just amazing. Here again, I don't have words. I just don't have words. Do you know what I just told you? The inscrutable God of all creation has given you the mind of Christ. Is that not amazing? Here we are, just ordinary women, and we, as we read our Bible, as we study the Scriptures, we're able to understand them, and then we meditate on them, and then we memorize them. As we do this, increasingly, the mind of Christ is growing, and we are actually becoming conformed to his very image. Now, I can't know God's mind exhaustively, but I can make real progress. I can know him in degrees. I can grow in my knowledge. And memorization, along with meditation, is a very wonderful path that we can take to further imprint the mind of God on our hearts. The other text mentions the mind of Christ and points, another text I'm going to show you out of Philippians 2 there, it points to two great effects of memorizing the mind of Christ. Let's read Philippians 2:5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Now, there are going to be two things that pop out. Let's go ahead and write the two things down, and then we'll read. Number one is unity, and number two is humility. Now, let's go to verse 27. Standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. You see, submitting our minds to the Word of God goes hand in hand with humility and unity. Look at Philippians 2. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. You see, hiding God's words in your heart will help you build an arsenal for fighting temptation. But don't miss, it will also give you the life-changing power today of memorizing the mind of God. Now, let's see if I can finish this real quick. Let me give you five tips. Let's just jot them down and then we'll close. Number one, pick a variety of verses and passages. You know, as you're moving along, just pick the ones that are really ministering to you. Enjoy the goodness of those verses. Number two, take it with you during the day. Write it down, take it with you. Put it on a sticky note. Put that sticky note on your steering wheel. Number three, seek to understand, feel, and apply the text as you memorize it. Learning the text is secondary. Taking the text to your heart is primary. It's not about, let me check the box, I learned four verses. No, it's my heart that is the issue. Number four, don't memorize mindlessly. Engage with the text. Turn your emotions on. Number five, turn your text into prayer. Number six, memorize in light of the gospel. And as you memorize, number seven, continually turn to the Lord. Now, I've attached two handouts to your handout. I'm a big handout person, right? Because I got to the end of the chapter, and David Mathis, he gives you 10 verses to keep warm. These are one verse verses, and they're all about the gospel. These would be wonderful 10 verses for you to memorize and have, just to use as you're in your life. And then he gives you 12 gospel passages to memorize, and he says, memorize these and soak in them. You know how you like to get in a big hot bath and soak? Get in these 12 and just soak a while. So next week, I'll be giving the test where you can write your verses out that you memorized, right? I love y'all so much. Ruby Nan, I love you for coming this morning. Thank you for your testimony. Let's pray together. Our Father, we bless your name. Your word is our greatest treasure. Oh, how we need to be women of your word. We would be wise indeed to hide your word in our heart, to be aggressive about it. Help us to have good attitudes. Help us to not say, oh, I can't do that. Why, you've given us grace. You've given us the grace to do amazing things, even memorize scripture. God, give us time next week as women to let these 10 verses warm our hearts, to let these 12 passages give us a good soak to saturate our mind with your goodness. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week. That was nice.